Hello, sir. The recording has started. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you. Glenn, are you there?
Paul, you want
not,
to
yes.
Paul?
Yes. Would you please?
709 Michael Turner, Sebastian Bachelot, James Ladell, Paul Dear, Mark Trachtenberg, and from staff, Olaf, Nordling, Marika Koenig, and myself.
Thank you, Glenn. And please note that Barbara Steele had sent her regrets.
Did you see anybody else?
I did not receive from anybody else, just Barbara.
Thank you, Paul.
Okay, everyone. Thank you for being on the call again today. We'll dive into it in just a moment. I do have a question for the group, administrative question, really. The timeline that we laid out for ourselves was admittedly... hello, Kevin.
Hello.
We're just getting underway. Perfect timing.
Great.
The timeline that we had laid out was admittedly pretty ambitious. However, as we had noted, we thought we'd be into the second round of public comments and constituency statements. As we've not finalized our initial report, the timeline's necessarily slipped. That in and of itself is not a problem. The question I have for the group, however, is how far does the group feel we should go in working through what we were discussing yesterday, what we'll discuss again today, the partial bulk transfer terms? How much detail does everybody want to thrash out? Or do we want to try and get through the perhaps the key issues, get them into the report, get the report out there so we can start getting some public and constituency feedback, and we can continue our discussions in more detail in parallel? The question, the concern, the reason I pose it is that it's very easy for me to imagine we could spend quite a few calls going through things in great detail to put into the report, and then we're still probably going to have to make adjustments once we receive feedback down the road. With holiday schedules coming up and whatnot, I anticipate the comment period is probably going to run until likely the very end of December, maybe even into the beginning of January, anyhow. So there will be time for us to continue discussions if we want to wrap up. I really don't have a strong opinion either way. Want to poll the group and get the sense. Let's make this a group decision. But anybody who has any thoughts, please weigh in.
Oh, this is James.
James, go ahead.
Hi. So I was just thinking that... if we don't hash out at least a basic definition of terms before we seek second round constituency statements, do you feel that we're going to receive a lot of constructive input in those constituency statements, or are they just going to say we're waiting for further detail?
Yeah, very good point, and I should have been clearer. I think at a minimum that we as a group ought to take, based on the conversations last week, discussion that you guys started on the list, today's call, maybe one more call. Our minimal goal should be to have basic terms defined in the report for people to comment on. If we leave it totally wide open, I think it'll become almost impossible to absorb everybody's input later on, because I'm sure as many people respond will have their own point of view. We need to give them something to work off of.
Right.
The question and concern is that how much detail do we need? Basic terms, or should we try and kind of fully flesh out what we as a group think those terms should look like, and hold off on the public comment period? And again, that's the question I have for the group. Which way do we want to go?
This is Kevin. I had one other thing that I think we ought to think about. But it seems to me that as we were discussing various alternatives, there's a class of things that we're talking about, which is sort of the steady state operation of the protocol, and there are some that would require sort of a transition, and then that maybe if we frame ourselves as of just trying to put together our model of what we think the steady state protocol ought to be as the the sort of threshold baseline we need to get to and not worry about things about transitioning from the current system to our, you know, model system.
Okay, Kevin, that makes sense, but just help me understand. A steady state versus a transition, you're talking about the various scenarios that we've talked about that a partial bulk transfer might take place, so that, you know, when the registrar is will continue to exist. In other words, the scenario we were talking about, maybe they send only a part of a portfolio over, but registrants would have the option of sticking with the existing registrar. I'm sorry, clear on the terms you're using, steady state and transition.
Yeah, no, fair question. No, what I'm trying to say is that there, whatever we're proposing now will require a change in existing rules and protocols and all that, and some of our discussion has centered on some of the difficulties of modifying our current, whatever is going on currently with what's being proposed, and then some of it's just how it ought to operate sort of in the abstract. and that's my thought is to not worry as much about some of the issues of, well, what would have to happen between what's in the world now and actually implementing new protocols, but just worry about what those new protocols ought to be.
Okay, understood now. How does everyone else feel about that? Don't all respond at once. It certainly makes sense to me, Kevin, and I appreciate it. Barbara's not here with us today. I think she would probably be very much in agreement with you, because from the transaction side, the registries, of course, will be very interested in understanding, you know, what are we recommending in terms of just the sort of the mechanics of it all, and the broader discussion about all the potential possibilities and nuances and whatnot. Those discussions can continue, but they first need to know what those sort of bottom line details are. So certainly that's an excellent point, and we will focus on those. Let's consider those the sort of the basic terms that the group needs to focus on, include in our initial draft, in the initial report, that is. And if we can put more flesh on the bones, terrific. But those key requirements, at a minimum, we need to focus on. Okay. Do others have any opinions they want to express now in terms of where we should be going with this?
This is Mikey.
Mm-hmm. Mikey.
I think we have to have enough out there that people have something that they can respond to without getting too off the track. I have a feeling we can probably get pretty close in a couple of weeks. But I think what I'd like to do is sort of leave the option open at the end of the call next week to sort of take a look at where we're at and say, are we there? And if we're all comfortable at that point, you know, let it out of the gate. But maybe give ourselves a chance to make that decision once we're a little bit closer to the final result. I think the goal of getting done quickly is a good one. And would support that, but we may find that we just need a little bit more time once we're through it.
Good points. Yeah, we don't need to rush. You know, quality work is more important than just dashing to the finish line. Is everybody else basically in agreement with that?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. It's Sebastian. I just wanted to ask one question aside to that. The discussion we had in Cairo with the GNSO was about to know if it was included in our charter or not. Do you feel that we have to take that into account, or any of the options you suggest are inside the scope, and we don't get any feedback from the GNSO saying that we were out of scope?
refresh my memory, Sebastian. What in particular? What are the scope questions?
It was at the end of the discussion with the GNSO, the member of the working group who was there, and there were discussions and if I understood well, the bulk transfer is really inside our scope or not.
This is Marika. I think that what was discussed at that stage was that, in principle, the charter talks about partial bulk transfer in the context of between registrars, and I think what we discussed at the council meeting was whether the option of having a registrant profiting or benefiting from that option might be outside of the scope, and that would potentially be something that the council would need to review, whether that could be included or not, if the group would decide to look into that. That was my understanding.
Yeah, I agree, Marika, and again, the charter question that we have in front of us very, very clearly says discuss possible partial bulk transfer term between registrars. So the idea that a registrant could independently initiate some partial bulk transfer, that is beyond scope. That is not part of our charter, and that's not what we're discussing right now.
Disputed, for the record.
Hi, Mike.
Just because a transfer is between registrars doesn't mean it can't be initiated by a registrant. That doesn't make any sense, Paul.
That's a good point, Mike, and fair enough, but registrars will be involved in facilitating the process.
No question about that.
Okay, and I think we're in agreement. The idea that let's just be clear, it may have been suggested previously that a portfolio holder, in particular a domainer, could say, I want to have my names moved to XYZ registrar, and that they would have the ability to do that without the participation of their existing registrar of record. That's what I'm saying is beyond the scope. It has to be the terms need to involve the registrars, both the gaining and the losing.
Okay. I never understood that someone was advocating that the losing registrar would be completely cut out of the process.
Yeah, and you know, when it was first broached, I think that was actually a garble. You know, so the time that was spent in council even suggesting that might have come up might have been a kind of a red herring, because I think it was something of a garbled interpretation. I think everybody's always understood it as you and I have just explained it. Registrant says, I want to move. They work with the two parties and the two registrar parties, and there you go. That's a transfer.
We're just talking about making it easier for registrants to ensure that the losing registrar acts in a timely manner without throwing up unnecessary roadblocks.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, to emphasize that there's nothing, those services exist for registrars. I can think of one that I'm familiar with that is seeking those types of customers and will jump through those hoops as a matter of customer service and to win that business. There's nothing that's preventing that from happening now.
Mm-hmm. Other than a recalcitrant losing registrar who may be trying to put up unnecessary roadblocks. And of course, folks, for we're in PDPA, and future PDPs, their charters will specifically look at some of the practices that losing registrars are involved in that make a transfer in the view of some unnecessarily difficult, if not impossible. So let's just remember that, you know, our charter is focused on our three questions, some of those broader ones. Hey, if you need more of this, don't worry, there's plenty more to come down the road. All right. In the interest of time, then, because you know if we're hearing everybody right, let's get back to the real substance of our discussions. Then we will agree. Then we will move forward, take the time that we need, trying to define the fundamentals, the terms, the fundamentals of a partial bulk transfer. And per Mikey's suggestion, I think a good one. You know, by the end of this call, we should have a good idea. Certainly during the call next week. I'm sorry? I just had a little feedback. Somebody want to make a point?
I believe that's the sound of someone blowing their nose.
Fair enough. You know, through this call and then, you know, by next week we can determine where we stand, get a better sense of, you know, do we need to work to draw to a close or we just simply still need more time? We're making excellent progress. We'll deal with those things in next week's call. So what I'd like to do then for today, to help us really focus on the key terms, James and Mikey have been working on these exact concerns, issues that we have in front of us. The email that was posted to the list just before the call from James is useful because, okay, we have it in black and white. We can just kind of move through the issues that are raised in the email, trying to distill the essence. What are the things that we really need to discuss, focus on, and try and get into our initial report for comment? And then the broader issues, some of the nuance, et cetera, that we can continue in our discussions in parallel with the comments that we'll be expecting from the community down the road. So if I can ask folks if you can pull up that email so we have it in front of us, you know, just make it easier and sort of everybody kind of orienting and figuring out where we need to go in our discussions for the rest of this call. The first and most fundamental, you know, would be you know, defining the terms of the partial bulk transfer. Getting back to Kevin's point, what are the mechanics, the absolute essential mechanisms? And you know, we still have kind of danced around. We've touched upon you know, the number of names that might be involved. You know, if a transfer, a partial bulk transfer takes place. Bulk transfer implies that the name changes registrar of record, but there is no extension of the expiration date, and there is no registry fee for that. In a partial bulk transfer, is that what folks want, or are we talking about you know, some sort of different beast where we're helping consolidate a certain number of names, but those fees would apply? You know, let's talk about that, make sure that we're all in agreement in terms of what is it. Is it more of a traditional transfer rolled up, trying to facilitate the movement, not a one-off transfer process? Or is it like a bulk, but some new beast that's partial? It's only part of a portfolio, but there's going to be no additional fees that are involved.
Carpalis is Mikey.
Yeah, go ahead, Mikey.
First, I want to make a disclaimer. Almost all of this document was written by James. It's a brilliant document, and I don't want to take any credit for it. It was, you know, I did nothing compared to what James did, so I just want to point that out. And I think that that one of the things that we probably want to do is go through these scenarios one by one, and I think in some cases fees may apply and in other cases they may not, as may other things. What we were working on in our correspondence and our phone call was sort of trying to figure out how to figure this out. And where we wound up was, first let's describe the various circumstances that might trigger one of these things. And then, once we figured at least the majority of them out, what we were really zeroed in on was the issue that I was raising in terms of the registrant's ability to opt in or out. But, you know, we could also talk about fees. We could talk about a bunch of things.
Okay.
And I think that the Rosetta Stone here is to try and get through that list of scenarios that this thing might be used in first and see what that produces in terms of ideas.
Okay.
A quick comment from Olaf here. Yep. Since we worked on Marika and I, Marika sent out four mail earlier on with scenarios, and well, I just wonder when we compare those 1 to 4. Well, the numbering is different, but they seem to be rather similar. So we also need to consolidate from which list we're working.
Good point.
Olaf. And to be fair, Mike and I was just writing these from memory, from several emails and phone calls since our last teleconference. So if there's a comprehensive or authoritative list of scenarios somewhere, I would recommend that we use that instead.
I just wonder, well, actually, I'm not entirely sure that they are exactly identical. So, but maybe we need to identify the scenarios that we're dealing with. And whichever we're starting from, at least have that perhaps clearly spelled out at the outcome of this meeting. Well, so your choice, whether we start from Marika's mail or from James' mail, or but we need to at least spell out the scenarios rather clearly, and we should be certain that we're talking about the same things.
Okay. Since I'd asked everybody to pull up, I guess it's James's email, the most recent one to the list, either Marika or Olaf, do you have the previous iteration? The list?
Yes, it was sent on last Thursday.
In the interest of identifying our scenarios, why don't we just start with what James has listed at number one, the registrar discontinued registrations within a particular TLD, but is still a credit operational in others. How different is that from the characterization that we may have provided in the previous call?
I just sent the previous one to the list again.
Okay. Right.
It should be rolling into your inboxes in a second.
Now let's see how that maps. For example, it's pretty close to scenario Roman 2 in that one. I think the coverage is slightly different.
I think that the difference is that what James was laying out and really what the two of us were talking about are sort of a little bit more business case.
Okay.
Kinds of scenarios, whereas the ones that Marika wrote are more descriptive. And this is starting to feel like one of those ones where, rather than doing it on the call, Marika, I'm curious if it makes more sense for you, in sort of the quiet of your office, to sit and look at these and do the mapping yourself rather than trying to do it on the call.
Yeah, thank you, Mike. You made my point for me. I was going to ask if that would be burdensome, Marika, just because I think if you can blend them so that we see it in writing, and if a blend doesn't make sense to you, then just list it as an additional scenario, and then as a group, when we have it in black and white in front of us, we can say, right, we understand, and decide how to either further refine or move things around.
And this is James, and I would be more than happy to schedule a separate call with Marika and just help to reconcile those two lists and make sure that we're covering everything.
Yes. I think that might make sense because, having a quick look, I think number 1, 3, and 4 on James's list seem to be covered in the different scenarios I drafted, right? That's how I'm interpreting them. The only one is 2 that's maybe a little bit different, but maybe again there, maybe, yeah, might make sense that James, that you and me speak about it and see how we can integrate both lists into one.
Yeah, I would say that it seems like James's 2 is perhaps a new scenario to be added.
Yeah, I think that's right.
So, James, I'll contact you offline and try to find a time when we can speak, okay?
Okay, this afternoon or tomorrow. I know you're UTC, right?
Yeah, well, UTC plus one.
Plus one, okay.
Okay, then as we await that, I think as a group we can recognize that, you know, we will have these four, probably five scenarios that we lay out. But then sort of moving to the next part off of James's email, and then for each scenario the group should consider, and, you know, maybe we should start discussing some of these. Recognizing, as Mikey said, in some cases certain particulars may apply to one set of the scenarios, not the others, in particular fees. But let's see if we can start fleshing out what some of these key terms or fundamental aspects of a partial bulk transfer.
Paul?
Might be. Yes.
This is James, and I think the first, you know, litmus test or pre-processing that we should do for each scenario is just to kind of run through, in the absence of a partial bulk transfer, how is this accomplished or achieved now? Are there existing tools or existing procedures that can do the same thing? And would a partial bulk transfer necessarily be something new or just a different way of accomplishing the same thing?
Okay.
Almost all of here, if I may say, that's almost an overriding question which we should, if we have then a number of scenarios, and then we have a number of questions of which you have put down four, and I think there may be more, but one of the overriding questions is to map this to current processes, and sort of, does this map to something that's already existing in a general sense? So I'm sort of taking almost one step backwards and trying to inventorize all the questions we need to ask. And I think that's the first and foremost one.
Yeah, and I think that the two of you are agreeing with each other, and I would agree with that as well. If we've got a tool that's already in place that's got policy around it and is all ready to go, we'd be, I think, well advised to use that tool rather than invent a new one.
Unless there's some, you know, fatal flaw in that existing process that doesn't address the scenario.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, very good. Then why don't we take a crack at it? Let's look at, guess what, James, what exists on both James and Marika's lists. So the first one, a registrar discontinues registrations within a particular TLD, but is still accredited and operational in others. So in this scenario, they will no longer support particular names in a particular namespace, and those names, you know, they're looking to move to a registrar who does support that. Let's think about what mechanisms exist.
Boy, I'd really like to have Barbara and some other registries chime in on this one.
Agreed, and Barbara is really very good about it. She said she would listen to the call. I'm very confident she will, so she'll have opportunity probably to respond on the list once we get sort of our synthesized scenarios list together. She can weigh in on that. But the for us right now, we can at least I guess in this scenario, so the question is, you're going to move, a registrar would need to move a portion of its portfolio to some new registrar because they will no longer support those particular, that particular TLD. And so the question becomes, do we need a partial bulk transfer mechanism in order to do that? I guess if you are, and I'm doing this quickly on the fly, so people stop me if I go off course, but In my view, that means that in no longer supporting a particular TLD, the what's called losing registrar in this case is going to terminate the particular amendment to the RIA that governed that particular TLD. In which case, if they are no longer an accredited registrar for that TLD, then wouldn't the existing bulk procedure apply? Because obviously all the names in that TLD need to move.
And to launch that on sort of a voluntary fashion, informing all the registrants that, well, actually we're ceasing this part of our operation, so please request a transfer. It doesn't sound very very practical. I wonder how they do it today, really.
Yeah, that's where Barbara would be really helpful.
Has this ever happened? Has this scenario ever played out in the real world?
I don't think it has.
Yeah,
not but it seems to me that is the type of scenario that the bulk transfer process contemplates.
Okay.
Is bulk transfer kind of constrained by a GTLD? So if I had five GTLDs and I was getting rid of one as a registrar, is bulk transfer all of the domains in my registrar customer group, or is it sectioned by GTLD?
I would argue, and you know, we can put this question specifically to Barbara to ask our constituency members and get back, but I would argue it bulk transfer policy does apply, because what you're talking about is all the names within a particular name, within a particular domain space, that would be moved. So, you know, all of my .org names, I'm necessarily going to have to deal with PIR. That registry operator is going to have to initiate the bulk transfer process. The fact that I'm still offering .com, .net, .info, whatever else, those are different registry operators.
Yeah, that makes sense to me, too.
In my mind, a partial bulk transfer is going to be focused more likely on the scenario where you have different extensions scattered across, and for whatever reason, maybe because, again, it's initiated, a particular registrant wants to consolidate portfolio, they're looking for the ability, you know, to simplify the process, not do it one-off. They're seeking a new partial bulk transfer term, which would provide the terms of a bulk transfer, but across multiple TLDs.
I think I'm with you until the multiple TLDs. I think you could wind up with a subset of a GTLD, but only one, you know, depending on the portfolio that was being moved or the circumstances. So sometimes, yes.
Okay, maybe in both cases. Yeah, high-profile names, high-value names, for example, they want to move to somebody because they feel that registrar offers better security,
yeah,
for example.
Right.
But there may still be additional, we'll just use an example, .com names that would remain with the original registrar of record. Could be, sure.
So I think that what we may have just arrived at is that James is scenario number one and Marika's scenario number two, which I think are the same, maybe something that is in fact describing a bulk transfer, and that we could eliminate those two from our list of scenarios. Do people agree with that?
Olaf here, I think that's to start with, it's again a question that we need to see the definition of a bulk transfer, a full bulk transfer, whether that's really seem to be covered by that definition, or whether the definition of a bulk transfer, a full one, should perhaps be tweaked a little in order to cover that particular scenario, because it sounds like they may be right, but I mean, I can't tell from off the cuff at all. So, but I think there's a bit of homework to do for us to see if that's yes or no, it would be regarded as bulk transfer with the text for full bulk transfer as it stands, or whether that should be something that should be considered to be changed in that definition.
Okay. To that end, then, we can do this in two parts. I can put the question to Barbara, and I'll do it on the list, and then she can reach out to the other registry operators in her constituency, get their interpretation of what bulk transfer means. Can I ask Olaf or Marika, or if either of you can reach out to perhaps Dan or somebody in legal at ICANN to get their definition as well. Let's make sure that we have consistent thinking.
Yeah.
Quite possible the registry operators might punt to you all anyway and say, well, what does ICANN think on this before they want to give their own view. But if we work in tandem, hopefully we arrive at the same answer and we can take it from there. But ideally, like I said, I will pose my question to Barbara and the registry constituency on the list. If you want to reach out to Dan, and then on the list, if you can provide us the answer so that coming into the call next week, we'll at least have this one cleared up in our minds.
Oh, we take that homework on checking with Dan.
This is Mikey again. You know, as I'm looking at these, I think that our report would be really helpful to people if we left these scenario descriptions as business situation descriptions, much like what James did, as sort of a frequently asked questions sort of format. So I'm a registrar and I want to discontinue registrations within a particular GLD. Which process should I use? And then whatever our answer is, you know, bulk transfer, partial bulk transfer. I think that would be a really useful way to describe this in the future, so that when people are trying to figure out what to do, they know which process to follow.
Okay. If the group agrees, then we would, for right now, continue to keep number one,
yeah,
but have an explanation saying that, you know, based on consultation with ICANN Legal and registry operators, I'm just making this up for now, but we believe that this is a, you know, falls under the standard bulk transfer policy. You know, please see those terms to execute the move.
Right.
All right. Yeah, and in laying it out that way, of course, what we're working towards is an initial report. Gesundheit. Initial report, the, you know, in our final report, if we've addressed all this and nobody in the public comments takes issue with anything, you know, we can decide whether or not we even need to include scenarios that do not involve a partial bulk transfer in the final report that goes to council.
Yeah, and I guess that's what I'm lobbying for, is if not in our report, it would, I think, be useful in some place, some form of documentation, to have sort of the roadmap for registrars, registries, and registrants as to which process to use under which circumstances.
Okay. Sure. Well, for now, absolutely, we'll include it in our report, and maybe it will make sense to everybody to keep it there as a public record.
Yeah.
All right. Yes, please, another question?
Well, I don't know if this would be helpful, but I found the actual bulk transfer language.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if kind of discussing that would be helpful, but it seems to cover scenario number one. It's in the policy on transfer registration between registrars.
Okay. You know, I think Marika did in the past. But Kevin, could you just, to make it easy for the rest of us, can you simply copy that and paste it to the mailing list so we can read along with you?
I'm going to do it right now.
Thanks. We might even have that on the wiki, but right now it's we're all in email. Easiest place to look at it.
I'll pin Bond's last email.
Okay.
Let me know when you guys get it.
Okay. Thank you.
got it. Mike here.
Yeah, so just skim over it while it comes in for the rest of us.
It would seem to cover the scenario depending on how you interpret all in that first sentence.
Yeah.
Because number two, you know, lack of accreditation of that registrar or lack of its authorization with the registry operator, which is in the singular form,
mm-hmm.
seems to suggest that, you know, it means all the registrations within a particular top-level domain.
It's, you know, it could be,
it's not
a little vague,
though,
because
yeah.
it could be by registry rather than by GTLD.
Right. You know, it may come down...
Wouldn't that be the same thing, though? The registry operator, which is the registry operator for that GTLD.
Yeah, unless it's interpreted, you know, for all of the GTLDs that particular registry operator operates. So, you know, ComNet, in the case of...
Yeah. Well, let's do this, guys. We have you know, homework, if you will, and let's put it to the folks who are in a position to make an authoritative determination. It may be that if they come back and say it's not clear, perhaps you know, it'll be within the purview of this working group to suggest clarifying language. Because if we were chartered to talk about partial bulk, if in answering that question we say, you know, some of these scenarios that we've identified we believe should be already covered under the bulk, clarify, tighten the language a bit, here you go, for you know, making everybody's life easier. So let's wait to see what we get back in terms of an answer from ICANN Legal and from the registry operators, how they interpret, and if maybe they make a very clear determination, or if there's ambiguity, then we can determine whether or not we should suggest clarifying language. Again, under the rubric of we're trying to develop partial bulk terms, but to avoid confusion and whatnot, suggest clarifying language to handle certain scenarios.
Mikey here.
Yeah, Mikey.
You know, in terms of that homework, we might want to have folks that are doing that homework take a look at all of the scenarios that we've got right now with that eye in mind, rather than just focusing on number one, and get sort of a preliminary determination as to which ones the smart folks think belong in which category. That might jump us ahead a couple on us just by doing that.
Okay. In the interest of time, we've said that we feel that off of James' list, numbers 1, 3, and 4 match up pretty nicely with what Marika's already provided in her previous. The new scenario, if you will, is this the second one in James' list.
Yeah.
That the registrar abandons its accreditation voluntarily to become a reseller. Okay, so then I know James and Marika are going to try and get together just
Actually, already just sent out a note to James trying to integrate the two, so maybe we can actually have a quite quick turnaround on that and then maybe send it out later to the list today even with a more consolidated version. I don't know, James, if you have a chance to look at it later today.
Looking at it now.
Okay, perfect.
Actually, what's the difference between 1 and 2 on James's list?
Let me pull that up real quickly.
In number 2, the registrar may still offer registration services in the particular TLD, but now as a reseller,
right.
Not as a credit registrar. for the one.
And in number one, that it remains an ICANN-accredited registrar, but in number two, it abandons accreditation in all GTLDs and all future TLDs.
Okay. Work that clarification into the synthesized text so that it's clear, please.
Will do.
And then I think once that new list is done, it would be great to take that new list to the smart folks and see what their reaction is in terms of bulk versus partial bulk.
Okay. All right. One issue, just looking at the clock, we have a little less than 10 minutes left. And you know, again, it's another excellent call. I appreciate everyone's time and inputs. And we will take however much time we need. You know, let's get this right. One thing I do want to touch on, it came up last week. It's here in James' list again. The issue of should registrants be given advance notification of an upcoming transfer? The question has been posed in the past of, well, what currently exists? How does it work? Just speaking for Network Solutions and its affiliate registrars, we have in our service agreement terms that very clearly state that we may decide to stop offering a particular service at some point in the future. We provide consumers of those services, registrants if it's a domain name, we will give them 30 days notice before ceasing the particular service. Our experience is we do notify before we take action. It's not like we just do this in the dead of the night and they wake up the next morning and things have changed on them. My sense, scanning over service agreements for some of the other leading registrars, that they all have similar notification terms. Timing may be different. The amount of time that they give may be different. But it seems that at least the larger registrars all have some notification terms built into their service agreement. So, you know, the challenge that we may have is that as a working group, I don't think we ever want to become put ourselves in a position where we are dictating business terms for registrars. You know, that becomes a slippery slope if we come out and say that you must offer, you know, pick a number however many days. You know, some registrars may even use the amount of notification and whatnot as a differentiator in the marketplace. So we need to think about how to kind of work with this one. If most are doing it, but how do we deal with those who may not offer, may not have that built into their process, and or how do we deal with different time frames?
One easy way to deal with it is to impose a minimum time frame, and registrars are free to exceed it.
Mm-hmm.
Paul, this is Mikey.
Okay, Mikey.
One of the things that is, I think, important to note is that the answers to these questions differ by scenario. James and I spent some time sort of talking about this on the phone. You know, we were sort of comparing the register fly situation with a more voluntary situation on the part of a registrar. And so I think what we may want to do is save that discussion until we get our list of scenarios nailed down, because there are some cases where it's an emergency and notification can lead to some very strange situations, whereas in other cases it's more of a business decision on the part of a registrar. And I think we want to make we at least want to be aware of that and not accidentally build a rule that just doesn't make any sense in a given scenario.
Sure. When you guys were thinking thinking this through, what sort of emergency might you have had in mind?
Well, like the register fly shutdown, where all of a sudden they're gone. And you could imagine a situation where the notification is such that you can't get out of that because you've got this notification cycle that's sort of getting in the way.
Okay.
And so I think it'll be helpful once we get our little list of scenarios nailed down to be able to sort of go through each one and say, okay, does a notification make sense in this scenario? If so, what sort of minimum time frame makes sense, et cetera, et cetera. But it may be one where it's not a blanket rule for all the scenarios.
And I think if there's an opportunity to consolidate all of the emergency scenarios into the something that wasn't in place during the register fly incident, which would be some sort of a ICANN's de-accreditation process and re-delegation process. If we can say that this is a sufficient safety net to cover all of those emergency situations, now that we've got those put away, then what non-emergency obligations exist for notification? So,
yeah.
Okay. And then setting, I agree with, I believe it was Mike who said that having a requirement for a minimum notification window and then keeping that sufficiently small so that those registrars who are exceeding it are, already going beyond what's required would probably be the best way to approach that.
Okay, very good. All right, we only have a couple minutes left. People want to keep chewing on this? Better to maybe wrap it up now.
I'd like to, Paul, if I could, I'd like to...
Sure, Mike.
I don't know if it's for the whole group or if you want to just take it offline with me afterwards, but I just want to know... we have a council meeting tomorrow or Thursday morning, so I just kind of want to know what update I should be giving and hear from the group, I guess, whether there's any issues that we think the council needs to be aware of with this group.
I think it's probably safe to say right now, Mike, that the timeline that we originally established was ambitious, that our discussions on partial bulk transfer terms are very positive, but they're taking more time. Therefore, I think we have, at least through next week's call, we'll continue working on the terms with a goal to take stock at that point and determine when will we be able to wrap up the discussions to a degree that we can feel confident putting out our initial report.
Okay.
And I think, the initial report will be going out. At this point, the goal would be early December, with the comment period to follow, probably carrying us into January.
Okay. That sounds good to me. Thanks.
And thank you for letting council know where we stand, because, like I said, we were overly ambitious, and in Cairo telling them that we might have this particular one wrapped up by the end of the year, that's not going to happen.
I'm sure there won't be any punishment.
Fair enough. Others, any other questions, issues, concerns before we draw this one to a close? Again, we will be looking on the list for agreement on the synthesized scenarios. Once we've agreed to that, we'll push out our questions to our registry constituency colleagues as well as ICANN Legal and get some clarification on the terms that might apply for those scenarios, whether bulk in particular would cover them or not. And then if we can have those discussions on the list, hopefully it'll allow us to hit the ground running next Tuesday at this time so we can continue. And as we've just said to Mike, we'll take stock in next week's call, decide how much more time do we think we need. Again, we're going to take however much time we feel we need. Let's get a good initial report out there. But probably on next week's call, we need to start coming to an idea how much time will that be? When do we feel we can put it out? Because, of course, our discussions can continue in parallel with all of this while the public comment process is going on. And I'm sure as those comments start to get received, that's going to influence our discussions as well.
Paul, this is James. Just a final recommendation that maybe if we could have someone put out an inventory or a shopping list of who has what homework assignment. I'd hate to let something drop, and I know my name is attached to at least one. So.
Yeah, well, I think it's very simple, James. I mean, right now we're just looking if Marika's already posted to the list, and obviously you or any, or I think she said she was going to post to the list. You know, an initial effort to combine.
I send it for now to James, so it's okay. As soon as he gets his feedback in, I think we can send it to the list, basically.
Let's do that then, James. You know,
okay.
Once it looks good to you, post it up if everybody's in agreement. And I would ask folks if we can do it perhaps by close of business today. I'm just asking for a little haste so that we can be in agreement on the list of scenarios, and that we can then get those out to ICANN Legal and the registry constituency, just because the travel schedules and workloads and whatnot, want to give them as much time to research, come up with answers for us. And again, if we do it on the list, we'll all be able to see heading into next Tuesday's call. So that was the only homework that I had, James. We're looking for that list, and then I will push it out to registries, and Marika Olaf will push it to ICANN Legal.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Once again, thank you, everyone, for your time. Please keep an eye on the list. Weigh in as appropriate, and we'll look forward to talking about this again next Tuesday.
Thanks, Paul.
Thank you,
Paul.
Bye.
Bye.
All right.